You just tuned in to Set for Success with your host, Richard Lannan, and I want to welcome you back. You know what we're going to do? We're going to continue our journey to help you create a roadmap to change your business, your career, your life. And how are we going to do that? We're going to do that through chatting with one person at a time to uncover people's lives, their business, their journey, their successes to help you create the success that you deserve, and you do deserve to be successful. Now, listen, I don't know how you define the word success, but success is something that I think is individual, right? It's how you see it. So what is successful to you? And I do like it when my guests and my listeners say to themselves, you know what? I deserve to be successful. And you do. You do deserve to be successful. I think you should say that to yourself right now. Now, if you listen to my show, you know full well that I always like to kick it off with a quote. So it is the Set for Success quote time. This time, the quote's coming from a book called Cornerstones and Keystones, A Solid Foundation for Success in Business and Life. And it's book three, The Journey Continues. So here we go. It actually starts off, the section starts off, it says, like a river, but I'm not going to read the whole thing. A shift happens when you have been through a traumatic experience. A change happens to your reality. When you have been healthy all your life, this becomes especially true. Suddenly, I had to rethink everything, my business, career, my family, my life. I learned the hard way, this takes time. Now that quote actually comes from the one and only me. Aha, see, there's a little bit of a story here. So let me give you that. See, last fall I was asked to participate in the writing of this small book. One of the authors to be involved in putting together keystones or cornerstones and keystones, a solid foundation for business and life success. My chapter is called Music, Motorcycles, and Family. And when I was asked to write a chapter of this book, I knew it would have to be something personal, something revealing about myself, something that I would openly share, if anything, to help another person, right? Did I say that correctly? To help another person, to help you, to help me, to help a group of people where it is. So this show airs, I actually want to tell you something, that I'm actually celebrating an anniversary. Yeah, it's the fourth year of me living and surviving with cardiac disease. And I share this openly, but I share this with some concern, some trepidation. My journey started on a Monday, went to a Wednesday, and ended with a quadruple bypass on a Friday, only to again to start another journey of healing from the events that changed my life. So now, when I share my story, my journey, it's more as a celebration in the hopes that it'll help you with your challenges, whether it's in your business, your career, or life, because it's all connected. Now, I know. I do a business show. Mostly my emphasis can be on things like marketing and finance and operational management and process improvement and people and culture and setting goals and figuring out your measurables and all of those things too. But what's the point of all of that if you're not healthy? What's the point of all that if you can't actually celebrate in your achievements? That, you know, you get something happens in your life that's outside of your control that you have to deal with. Now, whether it's one of the big diseases or health challenges, to encourage you to continue your journey, I want to just sort of help you continue that journey to be successful in whatever it is you're seeking to do. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, working is not an option, or not working is not an option. I would love it if I didn't have the work. Wouldn't that be great? I don't have to work anymore, but that's not my reality. One still needs to maintain, to grow, and to develop in their new reality. Hey, for me, very straightforward. I always like the people's lives from the perspective of you got to put food on the table, clothes on your back, roof over your head, and you still need to continue, right? Isn't that the journey of life, though, to adapt to events in your life that can either control you or define you, or you choose how you define yourself? The choice is yours. For me, the road led me back to things that I really enjoyed in my life, some personal things. As I mentioned, it was a restructuring my values and priorities in my life, and I could engage in things like music, motorcycles, family. Don't get me wrong, I still have a professional practice as a business strategic planner and speaker, trainer, coach, and radio host, and all of those wonderful things. I'm still involved in all the things, but I do things a bit differently today. I actually take times, I've shifted my priorities. And interestingly, as I shifted my priorities towards things that fulfilled me, I discovered my personal life and my professional life flourished. Go figure. Like, how did that happen? How did things just sort of open up more? And that sort of interests me. But this show is not actually meant to be about me. In reality, I really mean it to be about living with events in your life or circumstances that you have to get through. In this case here, we're probably going to focus a bit more on cardiac disease and what you can do about that, but we can sort of bridge over into other things. It really is also an acknowledgement to the professional healthcare workers who responded to my needs, helped me on the phone, got me to emergency, moved me to the cardiac ward, performed a quadruple bypass, helped me heal, and then worked with me on the road to a long-term recovery, a road that I actually believe I'm still on today. See, I don't think it actually ends. And based on everybody I've met that's ever gone through a health issue, I don't think that road or that journey really ever ends. So this is what we're going to do today. As I gave the show some thought today, I wondered who could come and share the ins and outs of cardiac disease recovery. And I know I'm focusing on the journey afterwards, but only because the event itself is a massive trigger that says, hey, you have to do something to change, or something has to change in your life. As I thought about the show, I reached out to the professional staff of the Refit Center in Winnipeg, in my opinion, the Mayo Clinic of Canada, or Canada's Mayo Clinic, and the CEO was kind enough to send over Gordon Fogg to come chat with us today. Gordon, welcome to the show.
Pleasure to be here.
I'm glad to hear. You know, I always like to start the show off in the sense of getting the listeners to know a little bit about you. So why don't we start in that space first? Why don't you just tell us a bit about yourself, Gordon?
Sure. In terms of the Refit Center, I started there about 4.5 years ago, shortly after I moved here from Southern Ontario. I went to school at the University of Guelph, where I studied something called human kinetics. Side note, I also have a degree in philosophy on top of that. And absolutely love working at the Refit Center, love working with the population and the folks there.
It's and what you actually do. You said basically you moved here from Ontario and everything. Tell us a little bit about your past life, a little bit about before you actually graced the halls of the Refit Center and the hanging out in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Yeah, I mean, I have kind of a varied background. I used to, I was going to school, had a number of different summer jobs, kind of worked at a golf course. One of the things I loved there was kind of just managing sort of the turf and the plants and things like that, the biology aspect of it. Eventually got around when I had finished school to kind of flipping houses a little bit.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, fixing things up, enjoying mechanical, electrical systems, things like that.
So that's a very interesting combination, because to go from philosophy to kinetics, did you say it was?
Human kinetics,
and then flipping houses, that's like, how is that all connected?
It's all kind of connected through sort of physics, mechanics, energy,
all those fun things. So I know we're going to talk about cardiac disease and programs for healing and stuff, but what is human kinetics? Let's start there. Let's sort of understand that a little bit.
Yeah, it's the study basically of human movement. Yeah. How our muscles kind of apply forces and do all those kind of things, but also our metabolism, and that's really it. Like, what does it take for the human body to move, and how does that happen?
Mm. How is that relevant to cardiac disease?
In terms of the physiology, the heart's got to supply oxygen and blood to the muscles, nutrients and things like that. So that's part of the study. Initially I didn't think that I'd end up working with chronic diseases like heart disease.
Yes.
I was going to be probably working in a physio clinic somewhere helping people rehab knee injuries. But when I came out to Winnipeg, I kind of just almost fell into this job a little bit by chance and ended up loving working with the chronic disease management.
Okay. So I think what we'll do is we'll take a short break. When we come back, Gordon's going to explain to us what chronic disease management is. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Everyone, welcome back. I'm hanging out with Gordon Fogg. Gordon is, what's your title, Gordon? What's your expertise?
My position is I'm a kinesiologist and certified exercise physiologist.
Okay.
And I would do fitness consulting, basically.
Yeah. Okay.
With the cardiac rehab program.
I'm basically going to call it a fitness consultant in that.
Sure.
Now, we were talking before in the previous segment about chronic disease management.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get a definition about that, around that anyway. So what is chronic disease management?
Sure. So, when people think of disease, often they'll think of things like cold, flu, stuff that sort of starts and then at some point ends, hopefully.
Yeah.
Chronic diseases are things that are like diabetes, cancer, heart disease, stuff that kind of accumulates often over the lifespan and is something that never really goes away, but ends up requiring kind of constant and ongoing management.
Okay. And so I think that's a really great, from my perspective listening to you, I think that's a really great, simple sort of definition. definition around what chronic disease management is. So I gather you get to work with people from all walks of life. Like, can you explain to us maybe, obviously you can't say people's names and things like this, but can you maybe give us some examples of some of the experiences you've had working with people in terms of who have chronic diseases?
Yeah, I mean, I've been fortunate to work with a number of different programs, including briefly a kidney disease program, a program on diabetes, and my main kind of like passion interest is the heart disease aspect. And even within kind of the umbrella of heart disease, there are a number of different types, the most common obviously being the coronary artery disease that people kind of associate with heart attacks.
Now, would that be something, so when you talk about coronary heart disease, would that have been something that, because in the early monologue, I've sort of made the show a little bit about opening, about celebrating the fact that, you know, I've had my own experience with this. So was that the category you'd put me into?
Yeah, any blockages of the arteries would be usually called coronary artery disease. Especially if it's progressive and you know, accumulates over time.
What actually causes heart disease?
So heart disease, there are different types, but again, the most common with the coronary artery disease.
We can go through the types. It's all good.
You have the arteries that supply the blood and oxygen to the heart, and they're just basically tubes.
Yeah.
Over time, things like cholesterol can start to kind of get in the lining of the tubes, and then it just starts to accumulate, and some other stuff gets in there. And eventually, this little kind of film that starts becomes a bit of a balloon or a bubble or a kind of pimply kind of thing, and it actually starts to block the tube. At some point, that little blockage will rupture.
Yes.
And that's what's kind of, that's the mechanism of a heart attack in most cases, is when the plaque ruptures, the body's response is to create a blood clot, and there's this very sudden, complete blockage of the tube.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, wow. It can block progressively and gradually, but often it's kind of this sudden rupture of this plaque.
And I think it's interesting that you would say that it can block progressively or gradually or suddenly. And I find that interesting because when I listen to you say the first part, my first question is, as somebody who's not fully educated in this space, is that like, could people be having like mini heart attacks and not knowing them? Is that a possibility? And it's okay to say you don't know.
Yeah, that wouldn't be super common usually, okay. Especially if there's kind of that plaque rupture and blockage. Yeah. It's usually kind of a pretty big deal that most people would notice.
Would notice, right? It'd be something really hard. Yeah. Now, I know that a lot of people live also with angina, which is part of cardiac disease.
Correct.
So what's the aspect of angina? Because I think, you know, the idea of a pipe getting blocked, I think that basically if you have plumbing at home in your house, you understand that, right?
Yeah.
And you need to clean it out. So when you say the idea that it's a tube and stuff like this, that's the first place my mind goes. It's just like, oh, it's like my plumbing at home, right? You know, but then you have things like angina. So what is angina?
Yeah, that's actually an important difference. Stable angina, again, in kind of most cases, would come about from stable coronary artery disease, where the plaque is kind of slowly growing over weeks, months, years, decades, and starting to kind of close off the tube gradually. So a kind of slow onset, you might notice it more when you're exercising really hard, and then you stop, and then it goes away. And then over time, it gets worse, and all of a sudden, maybe doing normal things day to day, you're starting to get a little bit of chest pain, abdominal fatigue, or shortness of breath. This is different from a heart attack, where it's a very like sudden onset, severe, and it doesn't go away with rest, kind of a thing.
Yeah, and it sort of hits you pretty hard.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I mean, there's lots of places we can go with this. Now you're involved more in programs that help people rehabilitate from cardiac disease.
Correct.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. So with the cardiac rehabilitation program, there are a few things that helps in terms of the chronic disease management piece. You know, these plaques form over years and years, kind of a thing. And we use this term called risk factors. So there are these different things that contribute to the likelihood of it. Diabetes, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, low fitness, sedentary behavior. Those can all kind of like tilt the scale towards developing heart disease or having a heart attack. Mm-hmm. Or if you keep on top of them, healthy lifestyle can tilt the scales away from it. No certainty one way or the other. You can't 100% prevent it. Can't 100% guarantee it, but you can kind of skew the odds a little bit.
You can make some choices, right?
Yeah.
In that respect, I mean, you're talking about things like diabetes, stress. I mean, you said a few other ones. What were the other risk factors?
High cholesterol, high blood pressure, stress, sedentary behavior, or low physical fitness.
Okay, I'm just making a few notes because I want to hit some of those.
Sure.
You just say them so quickly and that. You know, I think one of the things we were talking about during the break was the impact of stress on the heart. Mm-hmm. What is the impact of stress on the heart? And can you speak to that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has a couple of different effects. There's kind of a direct effect that it has where it just seems to be associated with this increased likelihood of heart problems. Mm-hmm. But it also has an indirect effect. If we don't really manage our stress effectively, then it can lead us to, sometimes unhealthy coping mechanisms, okay. Whether it's, knocking back a pint of Ben and Jerry's, if you smoke,
eating a big chocolate bar every day.
Yeah. Or, going for fast food,
whatever it might be,
trigger us to make bad decisions.
So why don't we talk a little bit more when we'll come back. We'll take a short break and we'll talk about we'll talk a little bit more about the stress and your business and your life and how that can trigger heart disease. This is Rich Lamb for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out with Gord Fogg of the Refit Center. We've been talking a bit about diseases. We'll put it into that context. And just before the break, we were actually breaking down the whole idea of cardiac disease because it's so common, right, Gord? I mean, like a lot of people live with cardiac disease.
It's very common, leading cause of death, and it's a lot of people are living with that.
Yes. And out of curiosity, before we get into the risk factors a bit more, is there sort of like a common age factor that the bulk of the population tends to be between the ages of such and such and such and such that are living with cardiac disease?
Yeah, actually the most significant risk factor ultimately is age.
Sure.
And with the program, I've seen people as young as being in their 30s, but
yes.
Most people kind of, the risk starts going up when you hit your 40s. It's important to start taking care of yourself. And 50s, 60s, 70s is kind of where we see a lot of it.
I'm seeing a lot in the 50s, 60s, 70s type of categories. Now, is that more indicative of the fact that the Refit Center tends to focus in on people with major diseases, that you tend to see that category a bit more?
No, we get referrals automatically from St. Boniface Hospital, and those are sort of just like the demographics that we see, and that's when kind of the incidents tend to happen. Late life.
Yeah, so basically, I guess what we could say, and I just want to make sure we can say this comfortably, that if you're 40 plus, that you're in a higher risk category of cardiac disease than other younger categories. Did I say that right?
Yeah, definitely. Sort of once you get into your 40s, it's time to kind of like check in with the doctor and see, hey, what are some of the things I need to be doing to take care of my health? Yeah.
I often thought, to be honest with you, and you and I have talked a bit about this, I'm a person that lives with cardiac disease, and so I've had to learn how to manage it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in that category. So we're going to talk a bit about this, and I hope the listeners, you're going to be okay with this, because Gord and I are hopefully going to banter a few things around, and he might just ask me a few questions too. So we might do a little bit of reversal here. But I've often thought there should be some kind of test where they can actually just, I mean, I know there is after the fact, but before the fact, like check your plumbing before the fact, right? And I think that'd be awesome, right? So, maybe that's a good place to start. What are some of the things that a person could do to sort of check to see if they might have an issue with cardiac disease?
Yeah, honestly, a discussion with your doctor is probably the best thing to do. Some of the tests, no test is really ever going to be 100% certain.
Yeah.
So it's good to kind of know what those risk factors are. Do you have a family history, high blood pressure, etc.?
Yeah.
Discussion with your doctor.
And of course, you do the blood tests and everything. That's common. And then I think the other one's called a stress test, isn't it?
The stress test is useful for a pretty kind of small slice of people. It's actually kind of not necessarily something you'd want to be doing on an annual basis.
Okay.
Unless your doctor thinks it's appropriate
Appropriate. Yeah. Well, let's explain what a stress test is, because I suspect a lot of listeners don't know what it is.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you have something like stable angina, your doctor may refer you for that or other imaging, other tests. But sometimes one thing they can do is take a look at how your heart behaves while it's exercising.
Yeah.
And if they see some changes on the electrical signal or on some other pictures that they might choose to take, then that'll give them information about what's going on.
Yeah. So imagine this for a moment. Okay, this is for our listeners, and let's just assume you don't work out or anything, or maybe you do. You go into a room and you get on a treadmill, and you're wired in with all things sorts of things to monitor your heart and everything that's going on, hopefully with a couple of health professionals, a nurse, a doctor, or whoever's supposed to be in the room. And they gradually get you to go through various intervals. I don't remember the intervals, 30 seconds or something.
Three minutes usually.
3 minutes.
Yeah.
And they slowly increase the speed and incline. So you're slowly, slowly walking faster, walking uphill to the point in time where you just can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Or the point in time where you peak. That's the way I'll put it. And maybe health professionals would say something else. That is a stress test. It's not, you know, how much problems can you cover?
Yeah.
Those kind of things. I just want to throw that out there because, you know what, as we're talking, Gord, I suspect a lot of people don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even know maybe if they shouldn't even have one. And I know that our healthcare, system is stressed, so to speak. There's lots going on. But at the same point in time, it is something that you can get through the public system or you can get privately, right? So mm-hmm. That's a whole other story. So I'm just want to help out the listeners with that one a little bit. So we were talking a little bit about the risk factors and everything and how you might check it out. I know that you get into the whole idea of dealing with your stress effectively and more on the rehabilitation side. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, in terms of the rehab, one of the components of the program is having a clinical psychologist working with the program who hosts some seminars on how to manage stress, relaxation techniques, and those are definitely helpful in terms of, keeping your risk down, trying to make sure that you're in the best point for ultimately changing your behavior. You mentioned in your opening quote, this takes time.
Yes.
And it is really a bit of a process and it takes a lot of effort. So sometimes focus.
When I was asked to write that chapter for that book and I didn't even know what I was going to write. It just sort of came down to be music, motorcycles and family. But that was one of the things I actually had to write that, you know, it took time because it wasn't for me, okay, and I share this with everybody very openly, it wasn't so much the physical requirements, it was the psychological requirements were the bigger thing to deal with, right? Because I'm one of those people that were always physically fit. So I'm on the spectrum of the odd person out. The doctors didn't know what to do with me. They'd look at me, you know, be in emergency, they're going, we don't know what's wrong. And this is seriously what they said to me. We don't know what's wrong with you. Right? Mm-hmm. Initially, they did that, right? And then I went through some tests, and they finally figured it out. Going back to your point back to me, I find that very interesting that the psychological issues is the tough one to get through. It's how your mind plays with you after the fact.
And it's a huge piece, and it's very common. You know, people often develop problems. It takes, you know, weeks, months to really just adjust to this massive event that's happened.
Yes.
It's a big change. It's kind of shocking. And that can kind of prime the pump for making healthier choices, which, you know, you might have made some healthier choices yourself, potentially. But depression, anxiety are common afterwards, and it's a bit of a shift.
And I would actually say depression and anxiety afterwards, it's something that you have to manage throughout the journey, right? If you were a person that did not experience anxiety or depression beforehand, I'm not convinced. I don't know, have any medical research on this, but I'm not convinced that that it would go away. In other words, if you become depressed, anxiety afterwards, and you manage to deal with it, I think it would crop up again and crop up again, right?
Yeah, mental health and physical health kind of go together quite a lot.
Fit in together, right? You know what we're going to do? We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I think maybe that's what we should talk about. Gordon and I will discuss a little bit more how mental health and physical health fit together. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome back. I'm hanging out with Gordon, or Gord. He said I can call him Gord. So now he's my new best friend. Gord Fogg. He's involved in cardiac rehabilitation. Is that okay to say it that way?
Yep.
Right. I suspect you're involved in a few other things too, right? So, but you can tell me about those. Now, just before the break, we were talking about really the rehabilitation side, the idea that the physiology and the psychological side fits together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a bit of a mind bender when you have a traumatic event in your life.
Definitely.
Right? And you've talked about cancer. We're focusing more on cardiac disease, mm-hmm. and that's because I want to do a little bit of a appreciation show. But then, let's face it, cancer, same thing. You know, you walk into the doctor and they say, hey, you have cancer. Not cool, man. And then I guess the other one was diabetes. I think that's the big, those are the big three. That's what it was explained to me. And the Refit Center actually helped explain to me, those are the big three. And I was actually told by the cardiac psychology, out of the big three, one is a bit better having the other because you manage it a bit differently, right? But I'm not going to say, you know, any further on that. I guess, you know, when we talk about rehabilitation in that area and we're talking about the psychological and the physiological, does that be correct?
Sure.
What are the things we should be looking to do? What are the challenges people have and what should they need to be focusing in on?
Especially if kind of the lifestyle has contributed to the disease, whether it's kind of, again, the sedentary behavior, you can reduce that, making healthier dietary choices, exercising regularly. Those are things you can kind of do to prevent it from happening in the first place. And if it does happen, to prevent it from happening again and kind of regain some of the function.
Or minimize.
Yeah, minimize the effects maybe to some extent, but definitely reducing the likelihood or the risk that's associated with it.
It's interesting how we can talk about lifestyle, because I think lifestyle today is such a big word, right? It's everywhere, you know, like lifestyle, what's your lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
And you know, better lifestyle choices. And when we talk about those things, there are choices, you know, like, and I'm just going to come from experience side, because you and I have been bantering this a little bit on the break side, is that if you try to make all these lifestyle changes right away, you're not going to be successful. Like, I think you'd give yourself a heart attack just trying to make massive changes. It's a lot, right? It tends to be little increments of journeys with various people that can help you along the way, so you learn something new and change a behavior. Which isn't that really what it's all about, a behavioral change?
Yeah, that's kind of one of the most effective things you can do to reduce the likelihood of running into problems. It's not easy, but I mean, you know, maybe you could speak more to this, but
I don't know. I don't want to be the expert here.
What does it take to change?
I'm just a patient.
How do we kind of like move forward every day, setting goals and kind of finding an effective path forward?
Well, I think some people would have to ask my wife that.
Social support's important. Stuff matters.
What does it take to actually change my husband into a decent guy? Ooh, 32 years. Okay, I'm just joking, okay? You know what? It's interesting when we talk about lifestyle choices. I think that, and maybe you can speak to this too. I think people think they're making good lifestyle choices, but they're not, right? And I'm probably more aware of it now. You know, it's like that. Oh, well, you know, that one cookie doesn't really matter. Right. Well, you know, but here's the thing, right? You had the cookie yesterday, the day before, and the day before that.
Habit.
Right? It's habit, right?
That's a big one.
So no big deal right now. Or, you know, I had two beers, but that third one, it's not going to be a big deal. It's Friday.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the tough thing. The interesting thing is, and my wife and I often talk about this, is that, and again, you and I did say we'd do the reversal thing. And we learned this from one of the doctors at your organization that you're with, and we were doing a sugar cleanse. And I want to share this as a lesson learned. And one of the things was that alcohol is not necessarily bad. It's what you do when you have a couple of drinks is what's bad for you. So if you have that one glass of wine, you know, like, you know, that's no big deal, right?
Yeah, moderation.
Moderation, right? That idea. But if you have two glasses of wine, then your body automatically goes, what can I snack on? And you don't always make good choices, right?
Yeah.
And so that's a very interesting. You talk about lessons learned. That was sort of like, oh yeah, okay. And I'm not a big drinker, but I can see how, you know, the potato chips come out and the date squares or whatever.
Yeah,
whatever
a little more than you might otherwise have.
Might otherwise have, right?
That adds up.
You obviously have a program you're involved in. Tell us a little bit about that program.
Yeah, so it's a regional program by the WRHA. They're the funders and they run it. It's offered at two sites, Seven Oaks Wellness Institute and the Refit Center where I work. 16 weeks, you get an assessment at the beginning and end, and you get to work with a nurse, a kinesiologist or fitness professional like myself. We have dietitians, psychologists, so a big multidisciplinary team to help make sure that all your needs and all those lifestyle risk factors are met.
What's the program called?
It's the Cardiac Rehabilitation Program.
Yeah. Now, is that program for people that have come out of a hospital that have been through a cardiac event and had some kind of surgery or some kind of, I'm going to call it intervention. I'm not too sure what the medical word would
be. Yeah. I mean, anybody who has, the medical word would be kind of an indication for it, but any cardiac diagnosis, any cardiac event or procedure, like getting a stent, a pacemaker, being diagnosed with heart failure or a heart attack, all those things, or an arrhythmia, those would all kind of fit under the umbrella. Yeah.
And what kind of things over that 16-week period do people learn?
We talk a lot about sort of the behavior change component, how to set goals effectively, how to kind of keep an eye on negative self-talk and troubleshoot barriers and obstacles. And then we also talk about what is heart disease, how does it work? Most importantly, what can you do to kind of get ahead of it and prevent from encountering further problems?
Further problems in the future. If there was one thing, I mean, I'm just curious, right? And I suspect this is going to be a hard one to answer, but maybe not. If there was one thing somebody could do to try to help prevent a cardiac issue, what would that be?
I'm super biased, but exercise.
Okay, so you did say one thing.
that's my gig. You know, there are multiple risk factors, and everybody's going to have a different cocktail of those. You know, maybe it's family history, maybe it's, you know, your cholesterol, your blood pressure, bad diet could be kind of the one, or weight management. But you know, one very powerful tool you have that's pretty straightforward is just regular physical activity. You don't need to run a marathon. Even just going for a brisk walk around the block for 10 minutes can start to make a big difference.
Really, really. You know, it's interesting you would say that brief walk around the block. There's this video on the internet that I was actually watching, and it takes you through what 10 minutes of walk a day does to your body. And it's fascinating, actually. Somebody documented the shifts and changes and the adjustments, like just 10 minutes, right? And of course, 10 minutes eventually becomes 15, eventually becomes 20, you know, because your body automatically starts to
it starts to feel good. You want more of it.
I feel good.
And who doesn't like achieving goals or accomplishing goals?
Well, you know, that's just it. Do you think there are some goals that are more important than others? Like if you had to work with somebody and they had to pick a goal, what would you say that goal would have to be?
Again, it's going to be different for everybody. Yeah, for some people, it is the weight management piece, or, you know, the diet piece. Especially if you're sedentary, probably one of the most important things you can do is get moving, limit the time spent in front of a screen.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, spend in front of the screen, right? Turn the TV off, the computer off, get off the couch.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and it's so easy to like to sit back, especially in winter. We get such a long winter here that I think, you know, I have friends and we always talk about our winter weight and our summer weight.
Yeah.
It's like, it's amazing how quickly it changes. Like literally everybody will adjust 5 to 7 pounds just by the chances that winter disappears. Right?
Heart attacks also happen much more frequently during the winter than they
during
do
the
during the summer.
During the winter and summer months.
So it's,
those are issues.
Staying active.
If somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
I mean, in terms of the cardiac rehab program, you can contact either the Wellness Institute or the Refit Center. I personally have a Twitter feed at Gord Fogg for Twitter. Through the center is probably the best place to contact
me. What's the phone number for the center? Do you know?
Yeah, I don't know that one off the top of my head. We actually use a separate one.
There we go. What's your, will you be willing to give out your email address?
gordon.fogg@re-fit.com. That's rehfit.com.
Yeah. And Fogg is spelled
F-O-G-G.
Yeah, two G's. All right. Awesome show. Thank you very much for hanging out with
me. Thanks so much for having me.
I really appreciate it.
Much appreciated.
You know, for the listeners, I want to do a little bit of a different show this time. I wanted to share my journey a little bit on this one. And because I really know and understand if you are dealing with a major disease, where you're at. Like, and I know it might be a bit different for you, but there's just certain things that we all go through physically and psychologically that we have to deal with. And for me, this is like a fourth year journey. This is my fourth year of, hey, holy crow, I'm here, right? And I think if you're here too, then that is awesome, and you are awesome. Okay, so here's the scoop. Gord, I want to thank you for tuning in or joining me today. You didn't tune in, but you joined me. As for the listeners, I want to thank you for tuning in. And I do want you to remember something. I want you to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.